Gen X Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up. Welcome back, Gen X Grown Up Podcast listeners, to this special edition of the Gen X Grown Up Podcast. What you're listening to right now is just one part of a multi-part event that spans four different shows. In this cross-show collaboration, we will endeavor through a bracket-style debate tournament to determine the greatest movie ever about Generation X. Each of the four shows, including GXG, will argue eight films and choose only two from our quadrant of the bracket to move on to the finals. So after you've heard this episode, we invite you to head over to Society Owes Me a Gen X Podcast for the Southern Bracket, Project Gen X Pod for the Eastern Bracket, and Gen X Mixtape for the West. Now, of course, links to all of those shows will be available in the show notes for this episode or wherever you listen to podcasts. Ultimately, this cross-show event will culminate in a battle royale where hosts from all four shows get together in a finale episode to whittle the Elite Eight down to the tournament winner. Okay, let's get this thing started. On behalf of Mo, George, and myself, John, we all hope you enjoy this collaboration event.
Welcome to the Greatest Movies About Gen X Tournament Challenge.
Not even supposed to be here today.
Dear Mr. Vernon, we accept the fact that we had to sacrifice a whole Saturday in detention for whatever it was we did wrong. But we think you're crazy to make us write an essay telling you who we think we are. And you see us as you want to see us. In the simplest terms, with the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each one of us is a brain, and an athlete,
and a basket case, a princess,
and a criminal. Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Breakfast Club. Excellent!
Ours is a story that can only be told across multiple podcasts and decades.
10! Where have you been for 10 years?
I freaked out, I joined the army, I work for the government. I went into business with myself. I'm a professional killer.
From 80s pop to grunge and writing to finally being an adult, we will debate the best movies about the best generation ever.
If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
I didn't exhale.
Works for me.
The highs, the lows, and a whole lot of dead-end jobs will be explored. Say a prayer
for the youth of America. I don't know. Drugs are out. Sex is out. Politics are out. Everything is on hold. I mean, we definitely need something new.
Everybody knows that the days are loaded.
So join us all, Gen X Mixtape, Gen X Grownups, Society Owes Me a Gen X Podcast, and Project Gen X, because no one else is looking out for us.
Night fucking khakis.
Ew, get off of me! Ugh, I'm F.
And without further ado, the greatest movie about Gen X begins now! Or whatever.
Joe, it's Rex Manning Day.
What, no applause?
You met me at a very strange time in my life.
Hey there, this is John from Gen X Grown Up, and I'm joined by my two co-hosts, George. Hey, George.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
And, of course, Mo is here with me.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
I'm doing great. If you have not heard of Gen X Grown Up, we put out, in addition to a YouTube channel, we have a weekly podcast covering tech, toys, pop culture, games, movies, anything from the Gen X era. And we're happy that both Alan and Big Dave invited us to participate in their March Madness, April-ish Madness, I guess, whatever it is.
Yeah,
brackety.
March Madness is over, so.
Movie bracket madness, let's call it that.
Love it.
Yeah, there
love
you
it.
Go.
Let's do it. Yep. So we are happy to participate in this with the other Gen X themed shows. And so they provided us with our own quarter of the bracket.
Yes.
It's our job, as I understand from you sports competent people, that it's our job to get it down
I
to just a couple.
That the guy who knows nothing about sports or brackets or any of that stuff is the one leading the discussion.
Well, here's the good news. I'm also not the biggest movie buff. Both Mo and George are much bigger movie buffs here.
What are you even doing on the podcast, man? Mo and I should just do
it. It's my job to get you started.
You're not wrong. All right. So, hey, without further ado, why don't we get into the first matchup? We were provided with this bracket. We have four matchups that we'll get down to two matchups to get our contribution to the Elite Eight in this bracket. So, Mo, you want to introduce the first matchup?
Sure. So in the first matchup, we have Fast Times at Ridgemont High going against Before Sunrise.
Yeah, what did it even matter? The second one didn't matter at all. You said Fast Times at Ridgemont High. That's the end of the discussion right there.
I would say this. The second one could have mattered, but not with this movie.
I mean, that's the problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could have maybe mattered against the Muppet movie, possibly.
When you hear of like iconic Gen X films, like Before Sunrise, though it is probably it is definitely a more critically acclaimed film and better acting and producing or whatever, it just doesn't strike me as like a big Gen X film.
No.
I mean, Fast Times is
Fast
crazy
Times
good.
In our bracket, in our part of the bracket, like in for basketball terms, John, this would be like the East region or the West region or something like that.
Oh,
it would
okay.
be that part of the bracket.
Okay.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High would be the number one ranked team in that bracket.
Which it is on their list. You know, they did rank it as number one.
They did rank it? Okay, so it had a ranking. All right.
Yeah.
There's a reason why it has that ranking.
That explains it, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I never saw it Before Sunrise. Have you either of you guys seen this movie? I've never even seen it until I saw it on this list.
Yeah.
And I got it, watched the first... I can't tell you how far I got into it, but not very. It's just
didn't do it for you.
Ethan Hawke film?
Three guys, I mean, we're not going to pick this movie. It's just no way in hell this movie was never going to get picked.
I know that most of the listeners listening probably know Fast Times at Ridgemont High, but somebody give, since I haven't watched it, somebody give me a summary of what that Before Sunrise movie is about.
Oh, God. Okay. It's actually good. It's going to pay me to read
good
this.
Start.
But I will read. I will read the description of the movie. Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
A young man and woman meet on a train in Europe and wind up spending one evening together in Vienna. Unfortunately, both know that this will probably be their only night together.
It's like a will they, won't they, touring Europe, get to know each other. They both broke up with their boyfriend, girlfriend. Why are we spending so much time talking about Before Sunrise when it's clear?
It's Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
So let any other debate about the two? Should we just do a vote? What do you think?
I mean, yeah, if there's even a vote necessary, let's do it.
I don't know. I say Fast Times, George.
Yeah, Fast Times all the way.
Well,
Fast Times.
Okay, so we're going to promote Fast Times to the Sweet 16.
Yep.
That's cool. George, why don't you bring us into the next lineup?
Yeah, so the next bash at the beach or clash at the clink or whatever, I don't care, whatever you want to title this. I've actually seen both of these films. So Hackers from 1995 and also from 1995, Clueless. Hackers about a bunch of rebel teens who completely fake use technology in ways that it wasn't even closely remotely possible at that time
It was so bad, wasn't it?
It did have some decent actors in it, though. Angelina Jolie and the guy who played Sherlock on the TV series that he was also in Trainspotting. I can't remember his name right now off the top of my head. They were both in it. It was a decent film. It was okay. It was definitely an 80s, 90s film, right? It was right in smack dab in that. Like everything about that film felt that way. But Clueless is Clueless.
Exactly.
I love Clueless as much as I love Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which, by the way, both by the same director, Amy Heckerling.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
Oh, see, I told you George was the movie expert, not me. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, George, because also, if we're trying to gauge this about like what's more 80s, Clueless, I mean, they talked about like a whole...
What's more 80s than two films from 95?
Right. Yeah, I know.
No, I get your point. Yeah.
So is this supposed to be an 80s movie debate? Because there's only a few of the movies
Gen
in
X.
Here that...
Gen X era movies.
So they're
debate.
Counting 90s as Gen X because we were in our 20s at that point.
Right.
So.
We're not all as old as Mo. Some of us saw these.
Exactly, exactly. Right. So, but Clueless for me, though, I mean, that actually talked about the whole Valley Girl and da-da-da, which was a huge thing. And people talking like that. So to me, it's like if you're thinking of like something that was cultural and Gen X and stuff, it had to be Clueless.
It captured a moment in time the same way Fast Times at Ridgemont High did, right? Fast Times at Ridgemont High set in the late 70s, early 80s. You watch that film, you're back in that era if you grew up during that time period. You know about hanging out at the mall. You remember the skeevy guy who sold tickets to concerts, right? And Clueless
I think it was Mo. It was a skeevy guy.
It could have been.
And Clueless was the same way, but just for the next generation. It was a big vehicle for Alicia Silverstone, obviously. And you had a whole bunch of other people that went on to good, great stuff. Paul Rudd came out of that film.
Yeah.
He did a great job in it. I mean, and you even had Princess Bride, Inconceivable Guy, Wallace Shawn was in there.
Wallace Shawn, yeah.
Yeah. So, great film. I think it captured a moment in time way better than Hackers did. Hackers was, it was okay. I'm not going to go back and watch it. I will go back and watch Clueless.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, Hackers, I enjoy ironically now. I think when I first saw it, I fancied myself a hacker. It was the early 90s. And, you know, it came out in 95, Windows 95. I mean, that was like when computing started becoming really mainstream. Before that, I was a hobbyist and now it's kind of mainstream. And I'm like, oh, I'm ahead of the curve. I am a hacker kind of thing. But as you said, in the Hacker movie, passwords are the size of the screen and you push two buttons and you see a picture. I'm like, that's not computers. That's not how things work.
Yeah, I know. It's like no computer works like that.
Yeah, it still entertaining film. It doesn't age very well. Clueless is goddamn clueless. Yeah, it's tough. All right. I think we're ready for a vote on this part of the bracket. Okay. We'll start with you, Mo.
Oh, Clueless.
George.
Clueless.
Yeah, absolutely. Clueless, I think, is moving on to the next next level. It's going to have an uphill battle because we know what it's going up against.
Yeah, we do. It's going to be a tough. That next one's going to be tougher, but that's next bracket. Tough.
Yeah.
All right. So that handles the first half. Let's move along then to Mo. What's the next matchup for us? What's the next piece of the bracket? Sure.
So actually, this one was a little tougher for me. I like both these movies.
No, it's not. It's not that tough.
I don't know. The first one is The River's Edge. Oh, I think, I don't know. The first one was The River's Edge. Excellent movie. I don't care what you say. It was an amazingly good movie. But then it goes against Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which you could not find two opposite movies on this list if you
that's
try.
The problem. Yeah, that's the problem for me. River's Edge, that is fucking cinema. I mean, that is a film. That is a movie. Yeah. Right. Bill and Ted, though, I just have to see the cover of that movie and I smile. It's just a slice of Gen X for me. Whereas River's Edge, it could have been any time. Yeah, it just, for me, I'm leaning toward Bill and Ted now. George, what do you, I mean, Moe's really kind of hyping up River's Edge. What do you think?
So I'm gonna put this in basketball terms once again. So River's Edge is half court offense, right? It's a team who likes to come down the court, spend the entire shot clock setting up their play for one perfect shot. That's what River's Edge is to me. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is fast break. It's moving around and running up and down the court, doing all this crazy stuff. And Napoleon's eating ice cream with a pig face. And it's just bonkers. There's no way that Bill and Ted's, back when fast court offenses were first getting developed in the early 80s, people were like, there's no way that'll ever work against the tried and true half court offense.
The fundamentals, right?
The fundamentals, the defense. If you have not seen these films, River's Edge should beat Bill and Ted's by a mile. It's like John said, cinema versus a movie. It's fucking Bill and Ted, man. I'm sorry. 69, dude. You've got to go with a movie who has that kind of witty repartee. It's awesome.
I mean, the guess is that there's two opposite movies. Both of them, Keanu Reeves was in both movies.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
I know where I'm leaning towards because, I mean, again, I'm looking at more, I guess, more fun. And when I think back, I don't think
back. When's the last time you quoted Keanu Reeves from River's Edge, though?
I know, exactly. No, I agree with you. It's like I said, I think back, like, what movie did I enjoy more? Which one?
Which?
The River's Edge, I actually enjoyed more probably later. When I watch it later, because it's a heavy movie.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah.
River's Edge reminds me a lot of the first season of the podcast Serial. It was about someone whose girlfriend was killed and they had the body. And remember all that stuff from the Serial podcast. If you listen to that, it reminds me of that.
River's Edge is a template for that type of storyline. It's used over and over again. Mm-hmm. So it has a lot of street cred. But Jesus Christ, you're talking about quoting Keanu Reeves. He quotes himself from Bill and Ted's in other movies that he's in later on.
Whoa.
Like in Matrix when he's on top of the building and Morpheus jumps across and it's just awesome.
I'm ready for a vote. Yeah, you guys ready for a vote?
Yeah,
I'll lead this one off. I'm going to go with Bill and Ted. George, what do you think?
I got to go with Bill and Ted. It's close, but I got to go with Bill and Ted.
Mo?
Same. Yeah, same. It's close for me, but again, thinking about what am I going to think about as a Gen X movie growing up? I'm thinking Bill and Ted.
Yeah, this one's a proverbial buzzer beater. Did I use that right?
You did.
Yes.
Oh my God.
This one has a last second shot buzzer beater. Yes. Woo-hoo. It might have even gone into overtime if you've ever heard of that.
I have heard of that. Yes. That means they have more time on the clock, I think. Yeah.
That does.
Yes.
Because they were tied.
Regulation is over.
All right. George, why don't you move us into our last initial pair up of two? What do we got?
Yeah, so we got we kind of split the decades here. We've got one from 1984, Repo mm-hmm. Man, mm-hmm. and we've got one from 1991, Boys in the Hood.
Oof.
I hope everybody's seen both of these films.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know which one is the clear winner in my mind.
The clear winner. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a clear winner in this one for me.
Okay.
And I say clear winner. I'm not really sure what we're judging these on other than just yeah, what we really like, because we haven't really said. I know the guys from Project Gen X, they had like some criteria for us to look at, like sound score or mm-hmm. timely. I don't know, but I'm just going with what I like. So for me, I know which one of these two I like the most. But John, I want to start with you. What do you think about these two?
I'll start. Yeah. So I like Repo Man because it has a little sci-fi slant. I enjoy the film in the way I enjoy Bill and Ted, in that it's a lighter film mm-hmm. that it's fun to rewatch. I mean, it's not as whimsical as a Bill and Ted, but it's for almost the opposite reason that I chose Bill and Ted over River's Edge. For me, I would choose Boys in the Hood over Repo Man. I said, you know, River's Edge is more cinema. It's a little darker. There's heavier tones going on, where Bill and Ted is a feel good thing. Repo Man is not quite as that as Bill and Ted is, but Boys in the Hood, not only it is cinema again, but it's also a well-produced and structured film with fantastic writing. But the soundtrack from Boys in the Hood is one of the things that, if this was the buzzer beater here, the soundtrack for me is what would put it over the edge. While I enjoy both films, Boys in the Hood is already ahead for me. And then its soundtrack. I mean, you've got Nucleus in there. You've got, you know, Jam on it. There's just so much great stuff. Hip hop from that era and not hip hop in it. So I'm leaning really toward Boys in the Hood. What about you, Mo?
Okay, so I have very, very fond memories of Repo Man.
Mm-hmm.
It was a weird, low-budget, underground movie, very much a cult classic movie that was right, you know, 84. You know, it was like one of those things, like in high school, if you saw Repo Man, you were kind of, that was like the cool thing, because, you know, not everybody saw it, because again, it wasn't playing in all the major theaters. It's playing these like weird little theaters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird story. The whole movie is actually kind of bizarre, you think about it. But then you look at Boys in the Hood, like you said, it's a better movie for sure. Much better, just well done on all fronts. And again, think about like, what is a Gen X movie? You know, it's like, you know, Boys in the Hood was again talking about like a time and a place that was in the news, that was being talked about and was very much part of culture.
A lot like Clueless was a slice of that Gen exactly. X era exactly. life, but the Valley Girl part of it, you know?
Right. Yeah. And Repo Man, not so much. It was just a weird, quirky movie, you know? So yeah. I'm leaning toward Boys in the Hood.
All right. Let's close the loop, George. You had a pretty clear, decisive. Have we set up an argument or are we all in alignment?
No. I think we're all on the same page. So all of the films, oddly enough, that I, considering what I think is going to go through, have all been cultural, historical looks at specific mm-hmm. time and place or mm-hmm. specific groups of a time and place, something that stuff that we can relate to. And I don't think that goes unnoticed. In this case, Boys in the Hood was absolutely by far the better film. I liked Repo Man. I'm with you, Mo. I enjoyed it. It was fun. I can still go back and watch that movie once in a while. But you're talking about John Singleton, one of his first breakout hits as the director. You got Cuba Gooding Jr. You've got Ice in there. Ice Cube. You got Lawrence mm-hmm. Fishburne. You got Angela Bassett, Regina King, even.
Yeah, amazing cast.
An embarrassment of riches in talent. Yeah.
And before some of those people were even as big as they became mm-hmm. a few years later.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful writing in that film. It's heartfelt. There's tragedy. There's drama. There's even a little bit of comedy here and there with some of the stuff that ended up spawning mm-hmm. off other films like Friday and things of that nature. This was kind of, for me, the cultural touchstone of that whole film movement that looked at Southern Los Angeles culture in the 80s and 90s. And I think if you've got it in a bracket, it absolutely deserves to make it into the next round.
Yep, I think it's pretty clear. I mean, I will run the vote just for formality, but I think we pretty well laid it down. So, George, just very clearly, you said Boys in the Hood,
Boys
right?
in the Hood, absolutely.
That's my vote as well. Up against Repo Man, what do you say, Mo?
Yeah, Boys in the Hood's got to be.
Boys in the Hood. All right, Boys in the Hood defeats Repo Man and will move ahead now into the Sweet 16. That was easy. That part was not so tough.
Yeah. And actually, this kind of goes with, like, unless there's an upset, that's pretty much the way most of these brackets work. Like, the first one's usually pretty easy.
Well, that's the way they mostly work in basketball. Every now and then a 32 seed beats a 1 seed.
Right. And that's
weird. It doesn't happen that often. But every now and then, like, just in basketball this past year, Kentucky got beat out by some college that was smaller than TCC.
Yeah. A lot of people lost a lot of money. How in the world
they even made a tournament, nobody knows. But they beat University of Kentucky, the perennial favorite.
Yeah. Yep. Right. When Bob's College is playing Duke, they just buy tickets for in and out one day. They don't plan on being around.
Bob's College is just like, give us the bonus for just making it to the tournament.
Yeah. For showing up.
Yep. Hey, Mom, I'm on TV. You know, that's about it.
See, I was the guy who got the other guy jumped on top of me to slam the ball down.
Look how hard he dunked on me. I'm on TV. Over the past few weeks, we've been trying out Factor Meals and their meals that come straight to your door. They deliver them to you in the mail. They drop on the front door in this freezer pack. And it's a great way to eat stress-free. And this spring, you can get delicious, ready-to-eat meals. They're fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved. And here's the cool thing, as we've all found out. You throw them in the microwave for 2 minutes, and they're ready to eat and not even requiring cleanup.
And if you can't find something on their menu that you like, then you're just way too picky. Mm-hmm. Because they have over 35 options. Mm. You know, they have things like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie, and we even tried the vegetarian one, which was really good.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just the regular meals, but they've also got all these add-on packs, which I really love. These are things like, you know, breakfast or on-the-go lunches or little snacks, even like beverages that want to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So really, I mean, like they say on their site, what are you waiting for? And they're not kidding. You can get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals by heading over to Factor.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring.
Are you looking for good gourmet meals? Try the meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking.
We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for lowest carbon footprint meals.
So head to factormeals.com/GenX50 and use code GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code GenX50 at factormeals.com/GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Be sure to subscribe to or follow Gen X Grown Up wherever you listen. And while you're there, rate and review the show too. It helps more than you know. All right, so we have two matchups now. We got the 8 down to 4. That's two more matchups.
I'm so not looking forward to this one.
All right. Well,
I don't like doing either one of these.
Yeah,
no, these are tough. All right, Mo, why don't you set us up the matchup we have established based on our previous round? What are we looking at?
Okay, so we have Fast Time at Ridgemont High going against Clueless.
I don't know how you pick between the two. They are the same film by the same director about two different periods of time.
But one's more like a upper class versus kind of lower class, you know, rich school or poor school sort of thing.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But still, they're both high school. You know?
Yeah. They're both high school age groups.
Mm-hmm.
One happens to be late 70s, early 80s. The other one happens to be 90s. I mean,
let me try to drive a little wedge here because I have an opinion. I'm leaning one way or the other. Okay. So let me tell you my reasoning. I'm actually leaning toward Clueless.
Okay.
And the reason for that is, and it's not super crystallized in my mind, but the feeling that I have is that looking back, Fast Times, just while it is a coming of age film, while it is an enjoyable film, especially in the era when we watched it, for me, that film does not hold up as well as Clueless does looking at its respective slice of Gen X era life.
Mm-hmm.
Fast Times is, it's not the same as The Breakfast Club by any stretch, but it's a similar coming of age kind of around high school kids that are too old to be playing high school kids going on there. But I think Breakfast Club did it better than Fast Times did. So I always kind of look at Fast Times as a rung down from some of the more classics like that. But Clueless just feel it holds up better. I feel like it holds up better. The story it tells to me is better. It's less kind of a sophomoric humor and it's more emotional kind of click high school kind of drama in it with an enjoyable film wrapped around it. So I'm kind of leaning that direction. I don't know if that helps or hurts your decisions at all. What are you thinking, Mo?
I'm actually leaning the other way. I'm leaning more towards Fast and Furious High.
That sucks. Oh, that's tough. Okay.
But Clueless was a movie that actually surprised me because I was expecting to see a really just stupid comedy.
Stupid.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it wasn't. It was actually a really good movie, right. A really good comedy. Right. Whereas Fast and Furious High definitely lived up to what everyone thought it was. You know, you saw the trailer, you knew what the movie was about pretty much.
Yeah. What if we did Animal House in the 90s?
Yeah. You know, the guy he cut off the roof of his car, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, and I can't necessarily put my finger on why, except that I think back and which of these two movies did I enjoy more when I saw it? And it's probably that one. Because I remember seeing it with a bunch of friends and it was just a fun time where Clueless, not so much for me. It's not one I definitely is in my rotation. Like every couple of years I have to watch. So I don't know. I mean, it's close. Though. It's very, very close. How about you, George?
George, has that helped or hurt?
Yeah. Well, so I might have a system that might help us out here because I don't think the three of us are going to disagree that both of these are favorites. We love both of these films.
They're both worthy.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So since they are films by the same director and they have similar structures, maybe we can evaluate some of the parts to help us figure out which one of the holes might have the slight edge.
Oh, Jesus, I'm glad you're here. Okay, lay it on us.
Yeah. So let's look at it like this. First of all, let's take teachers. Okay? So Fast Times at Ridgemont High has Mr. Hand, right?
Yeah.
Clueless has Wallace Shawn. Which one of those two would you give the edge to?
Wallace Shawn.
Okay.
That's where I would go. What about you? Mo's thinking. He's not sure.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
You don't know.
Okay. All right. I'm on the fence myself. I love Wallace Shawn. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Wallace Shawn is a fucking comedic genius. I love him. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Project Gen X Pod, if that goes against the language barriers that you have. But
they've got a bloop button, I'm sure.
Yeah. The profanity thing, yeah.
I think I would probably go with Mr. Hand only because when I was in high school, I had one of those type of teachers.
Okay,
that's a good point.
A little bit more than I did the Wallace Shawn teacher, which they were very similar styles of teacher, but Mr. Hand was a little bit more from my era, my Gen X era growing up. All right, so Mo can come back to that one. Mm-hmm. We've got a split on the teachers.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's talk about students. Now, I don't mean the stars because Fast Times at Ridgemont High, it's debatable on who's the star of that film. It's very much an ensemble
it's
piece.
It's ensemble, very much so.
Yep.
Yeah.
So let's just talk about the students in whole, right? So you've got Sean Penn, you've got Phoebe Cates, you've got Judge Reinhold, you've got Jennifer Jason Leigh, you've got the guy who played Rat, right, who was the movie Usher.
Mm. Oh, no.
You've got a wide group of kids that inhabited that high school and that mall. Solid. Clueless, you've got Alicia Silverstone. You got Stacey Dash.
Paul Rudd was there.
So yeah, you can count Paul Rudd. He wasn't really in the high school, but he was associated with the group. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Brittany Murphy, God rest her soul.
Yep.
So which one of those student bodies do you prefer in those two films? John?
I'd give that edge to Fast Times.
Yeah, that, to me, it's a little bit clearer. Yeah, I would definitely go Fast Times.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I kind of agree as well. I think I would too. All right.
Damn it. You're starting to change my mind. That's okay.
George is good at that, actually.
That's a good way to like dissect it, though. Okay, yeah. You have one more? Maybe this will cement it.
I do.
Okay.
The director. It's the same director.
It's the same director, I know.
But do you think she was better when she directed Fast Times at Ridgemont High? Or do you think she did a better job with Clueless? Now, I'm specifically only talking about her directing. Mm-hmm. Not talking about the writing, not talking about the editing or any of that stuff that was post or pre. I'm just talking about her directing, what she got out of her cast. Because we've talked in other shows that, you know, the director, there's been debate as to whether or not the director really makes the movie, or if the cast and other people do. So which one do you think the director did a better job getting the best out of their cast, especially considering what stages they were at in their careers at the time? Don't forget that. John, how about you?
That didn't help me at all, because it's, again, I'm going to lean back toward Clueless then, unfortunately. It's kind of close, but the last thing you said made it tougher, which I consider where you are in your career. I think, you know, what is this, a decade later? So she was a more seasoned director, and she had more seasoned talent to work with. But I liked the directorial, what was delivered directorially in Clueless a little bit better than I did Fast Times. And I mentioned I thought Fast Times didn't hold up quite as well. So
Mo, how about you?
See, this is kind of a tough one to compare, because I'm looking like a lot of the actors she had in Fast Times were, I mean, that was like their first big roles for a lot of them. She was that was like one of her early movies, if I'm not mistaken, like one of her first ones she did, if I'm not mistaken. But so in that sense, I'm like, oh, for early directing debut, that was excellent.
It was. Oh, yeah.
But I'd say which one she did better. I think she did a better job of Clueless. It was a lot cleaner movie. It flowed a lot better.
Yeah. Where do you land on that one, George?
So I would actually go with Clueless as well, only because I've seen interviews with her afterwards, and she was far more happy with her work that she did on Clueless. And she felt that Fast Times at Ridgemont High, she was constantly being second guessed and things were being put into play, including the most pivotal scene of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the Phoebe Cates popping out of the pool scene. She didn't want that in there.
Oh,
that was something that the studio were like pressing her and Phoebe Cates to do. Because remember, Phoebe Cates was actually under 18 when she did that scene. So she didn't like that at all. And that's why she refused to do anything like that with Clueless. I think she became a more powerful director. And I think she became better skilled at her craft with Clueless, more confident. There's one final one that we can use.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Because
later
on this one kind of hits in John's realm. Uh-oh. Soundtrack.
Oh, geez.
Fast Times.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So I'm gonna write down and tally up the points. That hasn't helped
at all. Damn it, George. No,
I think it did. Let me tally up the points.
All right. You're tallying this? All right, good.
So sound, director. I'll play some
background music.
Kids, teachers. Now, Mo, you didn't give me a teacher's choice, so you still need to give me that.
Let's
Mr. Hand, Wallace Shawn, director.
Okay, so soundtrack, we got 3 votes for Fast Times. Director, we had 3 votes for Clueless. Right?
Yeah, essentially.
Kids, we had 3 votes for Fast Times. And teacher, you gave me who, Mo?
He said Mr. Hand.
Yeah. Mr. Hand. So we had 2 votes for Fast Times, 1 vote for Clueless. So with that, if we just went by points, it is a score of 8-4 in favor of Fast Times.
I like it because it makes it feel like we have no responsibility for it. So yeah, let's go with Fast Times.
It's out of my hands. All I did was fill in the blanks.
It's the points, not me.
If this were a fight, this one went to the judge's scorecard, and this is how they came out.
Yeah, that's true.
Split decision, but Fast Times, I think.
I don't know that there is a better way to arrive at a winner between these two, honestly. I mean, they're both. I mean, we talked about, you know, a couple films that were worthy. Here's 2 films that are really worthy. There's no question, but
yeah, I wish they hadn't paired up each other at this point of the bracket. I kind of wish that they had been an opportunity to be the final two, but
it happens.
They'd run into each other eventually based on their strength, I think, is the problem. Yeah. All right. So does that mean, I think we're all in agreement. I started leaning toward Clueless. Sounds like Fast Times. Mo, are you in agreement?
Yeah, I am.
George?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. One more matchup that we delivered based on our third and fourth matchups. George, you want to tip this one off? Look, the basketball thing. I did it. Did you hear me?
It's a basketball thing. I saw that. Nice. Although we're halfway through the game, so the tip-off is irrelevant anymore, but that's okay.
Shit. Okay.
This time we've got Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure against Boys in the Hood. Again,
oh my God.
Opposites.
Yeah, how do you compare these two?
We're not going to be able to use my previous system. No. I can tell you that much.
No, absolutely not.
Although there are some similarly aged people in both films. Both of them kind of are high schoolish age.
These are much less parallel than the last two, unfortunately. Oh, yeah, they had that kind of thing.
This is a tough one.
Big
one.
Dave, damn you, men. This was an unfortunate situation you put us in.
Oh, my God. Okay. I actually have an opinion on this one.
All right.
That'll help because, I mean, I have opinions,
I'm not necessarily happy about this, but this is where I think is.
Do it.
I'm leaning toward Boys in the Hood. And the reason why is we talked about Gen X taking that slice out of Gen X experience and growing up and all that stuff. I have to say Boys in the Hood definitely captured that. Whereas Bill and Ted was almost like that in itself was the slice.
Like the film itself was the flavor of the 80s.
Mm-hmm. I got it. Generally tells story. The movie itself was not, it wasn't really, I mean, no one went to a school like that. I mean, it was all pretty fictional.
San Dimas High School football rules.
So that's why I'm leaning toward Boys in the Hood.
So because Boys in the Hood was a more realistic experience of the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's a good point. It's a valid point. I'm like 51-49 right now. I'm right on the bubble. I'm leaning toward Bill and Ted. I was leaning harder toward Bill and Ted before, Mo, you put forth your statement there. Both of them are great slices of Gen X pop culture for very different reasons.
Yeah.
Bill and Ted is the more fun Gen X experience, where Boys in the Hood is the grittier, more realistic experience. And me being a aging white guy, I didn't have that experience, just like I didn't have the experience at Bill and Ted school. So it was a slice of life with which I was unfamiliar, but it also was, it made you think, it gave you characters that weren't one dimensional. They were three dimensional characters that could have gone in any direction. You had the brothers that took two different approaches to try to, better their lives. You know, one leaned into kind of the gang life and one was working really hard to get out of it. And you had there's just so much in Boys in the Hood that makes it a richer overall film, even though Bill and Ted for me is a undeniably more fun, but also a more, I don't even know if it's more of a touchstone. Now I'm leaning toward Boys in the Hood. Shit. Yeah. All right. I've rambled enough, George. Where are you at? Help me out here.
Well, like I said at the beginning, there's no way to do comparables across storyline or characters, don't think. I did look at one statistic that I think is a little bit interesting because both of these films were a couple of years apart. So they're close enough to release dates that you can compare box office revenues. I think it's interesting that Boys in the Hood not only had a higher box office, $57.5 million compared to $40 million, but also had the bigger profit because Boys in the Hood was shot for $6.5 million. Bill and Ted's took $10 million. So numbers-wise, only on the receipts, more people were interested and wanted to go see Boys in the Hood than Bill and Ted's at the time of release. Now, that does not include anything with the VHS rental market, which we all know is completely huge.
Oh, probably, especially in the late 80s.
Yes, probably doubled the box office either one of these films got, at the theater. When I'm talking about the people that were involved in the film, I know John Singleton's work. I couldn't tell you who directed Bill and Ted.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. That's
I don't know that person went on to have a great career. I'm going to go look it up and see if it'll tell me.
I'm kind of curious.
Some guy named Stephen Herrick.
Okay.
Don't know him.
Oh, yeah. Legendary.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done a bunch of movies.
And when we talk about the two films, the people that were in the films, Bill and Ted had two people that went on to bigger and better things and really just one.
Yeah, really one. Yeah. Well,
Boys in the Hood had 5 or 6. So I think it had the higher talent ratio.
Now, after the fact, I will say that your money suppositions and how the actors did in the future don't weigh as heavily with me as the work itself in isolation. Sure. It's a good data point, you know, that, hey, more money and that kind of thing. But
it's only trying to skew me off of that 50-50 place that I'm on, right?
Yeah.
I can rewatch both films multiple times. Mm-hmm. I can watch each film at least once or maybe even twice a year going forward and be happy doing it. It completely depends upon mood. If I'm in the mood for a comedy, I'm going to watch Boys in the Hood. If I'm in the mood for a drama, I'm going to watch Bill and Ted's. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't like these two against each other.
I don't like these two.
So which way are you leaning, George? It sounds like you're leaning toward Boys in the Hood. You provided numbers that said you might.
The numbers lean that way. Yeah. I don't know that those are my numbers, but they do lean that way. I didn't look at Rotten Tomatoes, so I have no idea.
I don't care. The audience. Doesn't factor in for me. Yeah.
I got to say, I'm probably going to get outvoted, but I think I'm going to go with Bill and Ted.
Yeah, I was leaning toward that in the first place. Like I told you, I'm right on the bubble here. And then
Boys in Hood, awesome film, seminal film, predecessor to many films of his ilk. Bill and Ted's multiple sequels. I'm not so sure if any of them were awesome.
Questionable sequels. They're not fantastic, but you know,
But Bill and Ted's just, I don't know why I'm going to say this other than the fact that it just captured a little bit more of my heart than Boys in the Hood did.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I'm basing this on. It's just got a slightly higher place in my emotional drawer than Boys in the Hood does.
Yeah. Okay. Mo, where are you leaning? I mean, we just got the pre-vote. We got
I'm still leaning towards Boys in the Hood because as far as emotional, the end of that movie, holy crap.
Brutal.
Oh, no. But a totally different experience. End of Bill and Ted is an uplifting, exciting experience that these guys, against all odds, as goofy as they are, they're, you know, slacker losers who are trying to start a band with no talent. And ultimately, they have a total science fiction craziness going on with,
I mean,
George frickin' Carlin.
I will say one of them had Clarence Clemens. I think that kind of should end it right there.
The thing that's weighing me more towards that is, again, it's like me going to see Bill and Ted was the experience, you know, of the time. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing the movie. I remember having a great time. I remember my friends. We talked about it and joked about it and all that stuff. Whereas Boys in the Hood seemed like it was more than just a movie. It talked about the time and what was going on in the United States around there.
And I don't even debate that either. Yeah.
You know, and that's the only reason
why. It was a touchstone film.
I don't think any of us would be unhappy with either of these moving forward, it sounds like.
You know, I'm okay with whichever one goes through.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
All right, you ready to vote? Shall we? Shall we do it?
Yeah, let's do it. I mean,
do we need to be unanimous or are we?
No, I think it can be majority rules.
Majority rules. Absolutely.
It'd be a slight, okay. I mean, it'd be a, if like a hair's majority, really, we get right down to it.
Okay, I'll vote first. I think I've been holding off and being the last one each time. I was leaning directly into Boys in the Hood, and the last thing you said, George, was it hit your heart better, and that is a very subjective thing that resonated exactly with me, and so ultimately I think you swayed me back to my initial thought, which was Bill and Ted. So I'm gonna vote Bill and Ted. Mo, how about you?
I'm still going with Boys in the Hood. You know, fair. For stuff I said, like I said, I think it's but you know, again, I wouldn't be unhappy with either one of them, but Boys in the Hood is probably where I love and respect that vote.
Makes sense. And George?
I mean, I'm still flipping a coin, but I think I'm going to, no matter which way it lands, I'm going to turn it over to the Bill and Ted side. So I'm going to go with Bill and Ted.
Okay. I mean, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. It's the most painful
so
cut.
Close.
Yeah.
It's so close.
It's just that they're so different.
They are. And that's what makes it so tough because
it's
both
apples
of them
and oranges.
Are beautiful examples of what they did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
whew.
That took a lot on me.
That hurt some.
I know, because that was either one of them get left
behind.
Guys
over Project Gen X, you guys put us through the ringer on this. And I think you stacked the deck you knew was going to happen to us, didn't you? Yeah, I expect that's true.
Yeah, I think they gave us that before sunrise, just give us an easy one to start with, you know?
Yeah, like, lull us into a false sense of security. Yeah. Oh, look how easy this will be.
Yeah, because God help us if we had gotten Princess Bride in this bracket.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, man.
Woo.
Yeah, you'd have a tough time talking me down off the Princess Bride.
Oh, no. Princess Bride goes all the way through. It's in my top five of all time.
Yeah, and I'm very curious to see what's in the other quadrants. Like, what movies did they have to go through? I'm curious now.
Yeah, it's... Well, so now that we've completed this, we have provided our contribution to the Elite Eight. So our two, along with three other brackets,
yep.
And the guys over at Project Gen X Pod are going to coordinate getting us together to then do that Elite Eight debate. So thank you guys for including us in the show.
Yeah, it was fun.
So, George, thank you for your time.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know, I appreciate you, buddy.
Oh, man, always.
Alan, Big Dave, throw it back to you guys. Thanks. Gen X Grown Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com. No more washing shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Are you tired of seeing your teen or young adult struggle on a path that clearly isn't the right fit? Is your teenager confused about which direction to take after high school? The future of work is changing rapidly, and our kids need to know all of the options available after high school so they're empowered to make the choice that is best for them. In each episode, we explore the latest trends that are shaping the opportunities of today and tomorrow. I'm your host, Betsy Jewell, and this is the High School Hamster Wheel Podcast.